What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
It's right there. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. Bookkeeper. My 24-7. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. We in our bag now. Yeah. All in my yo. Hey. Yo. Yo. Hey, welcome to the show. Hello. 24-7, Lord, hit him with the glow. Bling. New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know. You now know. I keep the book. To keep the foe, uh-huh. Hit it in my heart and I put it on my phone. Okay. Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. This podcast is for the people who love Christian perspectives and hip-hop. In the 20th episode, Daryl chops it up with Columbus, Ohio's Christian hip-hop artist, Kalem Montgomery. They discuss being intentional on social media platforms, how to be right and humble, infidelity, the murder of his mentor, Andre Hill, and so much more. Also, on the 20th episode, Daryl and Kalem talk about his last full project in our space entitled Free Verse Friday, Part 2. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, and without further delay, let's go! Let's go!
What's up? This is Kayla Kemp. Check out Kalem Montgomery's Look At That, and then dive into the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad and Kalem Montgomery, only on the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast. Holla, holla, holla. Ooh, ooh.
Look at that. Yeah. I've been in the valley beating down, yeah, I've known depression. It's teaching me to trust you, got my faith doing yoga stretches. All my issues fade when I come into your holy presence. Every soul infected, God heals, we show them reverence. I know there's plenty atheists who view me as incompetent, cause I believe that God exists. A healthy fear of him is where true knowledge lives. Sin left me stained, Jesus came to wipe the residue. They lie to earn their revenue, you put them on a pedestal. But we prioritize living lives God can be pleased with. If ever recognition comes, we give it back to Jesus. So you could disappear if you came here to hear some mumble rap. This that give him glory while we cross the devil trouble rap. I'm trying to get you ready, boy, cause we know we coming back. Tribulation come, we moving through it like a tunnel rat. I'm here with good news if you find yourself in a bad spot. He came to wash and clean the filthy rich and the have-nots. Rest for the weary, so I laid down and took a nap. Felt a hand tugging on my covers, trying to pull him back. I turned around, looked him in his eyes and said, put him back. He stumbled out the room and closed the door. Would you look at that? This battle isn't mine, no. Whoa. Faith walk, I keep my eyes closed. Oh, yeah, this battle isn't mine, no. Whoa. Faith walk and keep my eyes closed. They wanna see me dead like Malcolm X, gunned down behind the podium. I let my little light shine. I'm called to be the
sodium. Every verse and words a dedication to the Holy Son. Does anybody really exist? I feel like I'm the only one. This is my exodus. I'm Moses with the wooden staff, marching to the land that God promised. I ain't looking back. Remember back to when they used to laugh and say I couldn't rap. Now they hit me up to do collabs. Would you look at that? Compassion and grace is what he came to give. I never been afraid of death. I was afraid to live. Once a fatherless son, he said he would take me in. Homeless and hellbound, he swooped down to save the kid. Dead to sin, now blessed, he gave us a living faith. Relationships solidified right after this sinner prayed. Died to give this sinner grace. An occasion to commemorate like 10-year anniversary dinner dates. Rest for the weary, so I laid down and took a nap. Felt a hand tugging on my covers, tried to pull him back. I turned around, looked him in his eyes and said, put him back. He stumbled out the room and closed the door. Would you look at that? This battle isn't mine, no. Whoa. Faith walk, I keep my eyes closed. Oh, yeah, this battle isn't mine, no. Whoa. Faith walk and keep my eyes closed. Yeah.
Brother Daryl, what's up, man? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. Blessed to be in your presence and glad that you could join us on the podcast today.
Oh, it's an honor, man. I'm thankful to be here, bro. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. So let's take it back to the beginning. Tell us, where are you from?
So I'm from Columbus, Ohio, born and raised. Grew up on the east side close to a high school called Independence High School. Yeah, pretty much grew up out there my whole life. I'm an East Side. We recently moved to Westerville. That's like a suburban area in Columbus, or Ohio, I should say. It's a lot quieter than what I'm used to. You know, I'm used to like the rowdy, you know what I mean, cookouts every summer. Like, it's real quiet out here to the point we didn't even know if we had neighbors like the first couple of months we was out here, because we didn't see anybody. But yeah, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. Father, I got two kids. KJ and Kylea. Been married 10 years.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
We had St. Jones on the podcast, right? I believe he's from Columbus, Ohio as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So what is your experiences like, if you want to share with us just a short story or something growing up in Columbus?
Man, as a kid, man, I was pretty reserved, pretty shy. I grew up going to Christian school for like the first half of my life, maybe like kindergarten to third grade, I would say. And that was a time where God was planting seeds of the gospel. Like, I always grew up around Jesus things. Like, I knew the name Jesus. I heard scripture, very familiar with church. That was a big part of my upbringing. But it was only head knowledge at that point. But I think that's probably one of the biggest memories that I have as a kid, just going to Christian school and, you know, learning things about Jesus that would later on translate into a conversion story. Didn't do much as a kid, really. I was really into pictures and photography back then. I think that's kind of where, you know, I drew that up. I kind of picked that back up as I got older. Like, a defining moment. Yeah, we'll probably have to get back to that one, bro. I'll probably think of stuff talking. But
It ain't no problem, man. I seen, you know, where you was a photographer at. I remember in high school, I took 2 years of photography. And my dad, he's not my biological dad, but to me, he's my dad. Still dealing with them daddy issues at my age, but he had a dark room and taught me how to develop film. And I've always had a love of photography. How did that passion for photography turn into a business?
That's crazy. So my wife, she mentioned one day, I think it was 2014. She said, man, I want to start a vlog channel. And I hadn't done photography or video work in a really long time. You know, some stuff you have an interest in, but you walk away from it, you know, for a few years or you know, God just puts you in a different season where you're not tapped in with certain stuff. So like, I kind of forgot that I even did that until she kind of, until she mentioned that. So I'm like, okay, let's see what we need to do to get this running for you. And so we looked up like some cameras online just to see how much they were at that point. And we got like a starter DSLR camera. And when I first started, I didn't know anything. I had a digital camera, but it was one of the ones that still took film. So like the whole like DSLR season that like people are in now, like I had to kind of learn how to use those cameras. So that took about, you know, 3 to 4 months. Watch some YouTube tutorials, YouTube University, as people say, like on YouTube.
So, yes, sir.
We started, you know, just shooting videos for my wife. And I realized, man, I could probably like make some money doing this. You know what I mean? So I had a couple family members that needed some work done. I started off doing just free shoots at the house, you know, birthdays, anything I could do to like kind of learn the craft a little bit better. And then eventually I started an Instagram that had like photography work on it. Got some business cards made, started sending them at random businesses. And people just started calling. I've been at it now for about, I want to say 9 years. So I had a wedding today that went really good, but yeah, just her just letting me know like, babe, I want to start a vlog channel kind of sparked that interest again. And I was like, man, I think I could do this after a couple months. So yeah, man. Then it, you know, once we started like some music, my wife, she does music too. She's extremely talented. Started working on our own projects. And then I was teaching myself in that process how to do videos. You know what I mean? So it just, the love for it just grew the more that I started figuring out, and I could use this for not just, you know, for business purposes, but also for, you know, the ministry that God has called us to. So,
Amen. If I wanted a wedding done, how tell the people how they would get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a Instagram page, kalem.photography. Most of my work is on there, but I also have a website, kalemmontgomery.zenfolio.com. It has a lot of my weddings on there and then just other various shoots that I've done throughout that nine-year period that I've been pursuing it. So, yeah, Instagram probably the best way, kalem.photography. It's my handle.
Amen. That's a blessing. Man, when I research for an artist I'm going to interview, I always go to their social media profile.
Yeah.
Even when I get a music submission, I always check the artist's timeline. I promise you, for the first time ever, after checking your timeline and even running the Google search, nothing comes up on you but scriptures, photography, and music. I thought I wasn't going to even be able to do an interview, Caleb, but me and my partner, Eric, the artist on the team, was talking about that and felt like that was a great thing. That's a blessing. I love not seeing opinions and trending topics of this and that on your timeline. Even though you discuss hard topics in your music, we wanted to ask you, is that intentional to protect your timeline from the foolishness or just trying to catch the trending topics and everything of that nature? Is that intentional on your part?
Yeah, that's a good question, bro. It is. I feel like, you know, when God first called me to do music. And a lot of this ties into like my personal testimony of, you know, hearing the gospel early and not living a life that matched up with the principles that I knew God wanted me to live by. So once he called me to do music, you know, when I left Christian school, I transitioned to public school for the remainder of like my school years. And I always had a conviction about not living up to those principles the way that I knew God wanted me to. You know what I mean? So once he called me to do music, I was 19 years old. And I remember him saying, I want you to use this for my glory. And at the time, like, I didn't even really know what that meant. You know, I'm fresh in the faith. Like, I had biblical knowledge, but nothing that, like I said, translated into like a conversion. But I always had this desire to be gospel-centered with whether I'm posting, whether I'm, you know, making a song, whether I'm having a conversation. That's something I've tried to make a priority. But I feel like God, and then too, as you get older and God shows you different things about who he is, you kind of get a freedom that it kind of helps you realize that you don't have to always have a scripture and a verse attached to everything that you're saying for it to be true. Right. You know what I mean? So I did a song about my guy, Andre Hill. I don't know if you're familiar with his story, but he got shot, man, December 22nd. This is one of the guys that like really encouraged me early on when I was first starting out, you know, my interest in music and all of that. He's like, man, make sure you listen to, you know, people that have a, you know, a message that, you know, they're talking about something that's going to be beneficial for the people. He wasn't a Christian, but he had a respect for the art. And, you know, he was like a 90s golden era, you know what I mean? Like that was his thing. Because I mean, if you want to do this rap thing, make sure that you're not, you know, that you're talking about something that'll contribute to the betterment of people overall. You know what I mean? And so all that to say, I was kind of leery about doing a song when he passed, because I didn't know how that connected to the gospel. But I feel like in that season, God was like, man, you can talk about things that affect you. It won't always, like, every song may not lead back to a specific verse, but you're a human being. Like, you can talk about things that human beings experience. At the end of the day, if you're a believer and the Spirit is in you, you'll always find a way to connect it to who God is and what the truth says in the Word. So, but to answer your question, yeah, bro, I've tried to make that a priority, whether I'm on social media or, you know, work conversations, whatever it may be.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you mentioned Andre Hill, because that was my next thing I was going to. I love to hear testimony in music. The realness of Don't Forget About Dre, though, is heartbreaking. That song ignites a lot of emotions in me personally. Can you share with us who Andre Hill to you was and what happened to him?
Yeah, so Dre was a former co-worker. I used to work with him at Kmart. I'm trying to remember how old I was, 17, 18. At the time, I had two jobs. It's kind of crazy. There was a Kmart in the parking lot, and there was a McDonald's in the parking lot, too. So I would get off at Kmart's, and I would go straight to McDonald's on the weekends. And, you know, I had, you know, that's, I met Dre. I think he came in to get some food. He was like, man, they hiring, bro. You should put an app in if you need some extra work. So, yeah, we just used to chop it up at work about music, man. Like, he was a huge, like I said, 90s fan. He loved, Eminem was one of his favorite rappers, I think. But I didn't really like Eminem. So we always, like, would clash with that. You know what I mean? He would come in and have, like, some fresh Eminem bars. And I'd be like, man, that's whack, bro. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to hear it. But in this season, like, I wasn't saved either. You know what I mean? I was still writing and working on music, but God hadn't fully got a hold of me yet. So I was still kind of teetering between like the world and feeling God. It was a work that he was trying to do, but for whatever reason, I wasn't submitting, you know what I'm saying, to what it was that he was saying. And I said, Dre, we became really close, man. Like, and I told him I was doing music now. I wanted to, you know, pursue music as a, you know, like a career. He was like, man, just make sure that you're speaking about something that's going to contribute to the community. You know, he said, pick five rappers, study them, listen to them. And I should mention too, like, I didn't grow up listening to hip hop, like coming from, you know, a Christian household and, you know, being in a Christian school, like my mom wasn't having it. You know, she knew rap was like it. In her mind, rap was the evil genre that promoted, you know, disrespect for women and as much money as you could. Everything that was anti what I was learning at school. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. You know, I'm bringing that in here. So I lived vicariously through like friends and, you know, at that time, people that I knew that listened to rap, but couldn't bring it to the crib though. But Dre was telling me, yeah, man, just pick five MCs, study them, and, you know, that'll help you like sharpen your craft. But that's kind of how our relationship started. And it's funny because I lost contact with him for a long time, and he ended up being a good friend of my wife's father. So he was telling, we were having a conversation one day. He's like, yeah, I know Dre. And so we had like linked up on Facebook, and Dre was like, man, I'm glad to see you doing music that's positive. You know what I mean? So it's just funny that he made that comment to me early on. And then later on, when I saw him, he was able to kind of see where I progressed and how I was saying now, and I wasn't talking about nonsense. So that meant a lot to me that he was one of the first cats that like really poured into me and encouraged me to do something positive for the Lord. Well, not for the Lord, but something positive. You know what I'm saying? And then years later, he was able to see the fruit of him being encouraging to me. And like right before he got killed, I still have the screenshots and everything. And we were just talking back and forth. And he was like, man, I want to link up, man. I want to hear some of the stuff that you haven't released yet. So we had like kind of talked about getting together. And the next time that I heard about him or, you know, saw anything about him, he was dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it was crazy because I remember like watching the video and just seeing what happened to him, man. And it didn't really hit me till like the day after. And I just couldn't stop crying because I'm thinking about, you know, just him and his daughter and his grandkids, you know what I mean? And how he's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about how much of an impact he had on me in those few conversations. I couldn't imagine like the pain that his daughter and his grandkids were feeling, because he was just overall, man, he just had a great energy about him, man. Like, never had anything negative to say, you know what I'm saying? And he wanted to see people do their best. And I experienced that firsthand, you know what I'm saying? So he was killed. I don't know, I'm all over the place, bro.
Nah, you good.
He was killed by a police officer, man, going to drop off some gifts, you know what I'm saying, to a family member. Yeah, man, but it's I don't even listen to that song, bro. Like, it's hard to like make it to the end, because like it evokes so much emotion in me, you know, because he didn't deserve to go out like that, man. Like, you know, he was a good brother. You know, I know his family is still feeling the pain from that day. You know what I mean? So I connected with his daughter after I made the song, and I was just telling her just the impact that he had on me as a person. And she really appreciated. She didn't respond for like a long time. She had a lot going on in that season. But she told me, she's like, man, I really appreciate you doing that. Just to know that he impacted people the way that he did, it spoke a lot to her. So I felt like I had an obligation, man, to, you know, let people know just the impact that he had on my life. And like you said, I'm very careful about hopping on things that I know will trend. Because that was like a thing for a long time. Somebody got, you know, police brutality. Somebody got killed by a police officer. Everybody wants to make a song about it. You know what I'm saying? So I had to pray, like, Lord, I'm not doing this for attention or for, you know, a song to skyrocket with streams. Like, I just want to be honest about who Dre was to me without anything attached to it. You know what I mean? So I feel like it came out to be a pretty good record. Everybody that listened to it said that they, you know, really appreciated it. Felt like it was sincere. So, you know, I was thankful for that, man.
Yes, sir. And I appreciated it myself. Highlighting the personal struggles of police violence in our lives as Christian Black men in this society. To be able to express the pain, the hurt, the truth, the frustrations, the justice system, and stay godly. And don't forget about Dre. That's just admirable to me. How do you deal with the naysayers trying to control the narrative by saying things like all lives matter? There's more violence against Blacks on each other than cops unjustifiably killing Blacks, and et cetera. What do you say to the naysayers, some of my brothers and sisters out there, when something this close to home, a personal friend, a man that you consider a mentor in your life, a man that you have a connection with his family, what would you say to the naysayers that always brings that up when this happens in our communities?
Yeah, bro. I mean, as believers, we know that's the heart that we have. Like, we do believe that all lives matter. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that goes without saying. But it's kind of disrespectful if somebody is dealing with hurt or something, a personal experience with somebody that they know who's Black, and you say all lives matter. It's like, you know, let's keep the main thing in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had a coworker probably about a year ago, a guy that was training me, white guy. And we, for whatever reason, started talking about all the things that were going on at that time. I can't remember who specifically had been killed, but he said, you know, personally, I believe that all lives matter. And I said, I believe that too. You know what I mean? But nobody ever says that when we're talking about anything else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, let's allow people to feel how they feel. You know, and I don't think that Black Lives Matter is something that we say because we're trying to somehow undervalue other races. I don't think that that's the heart of that particular comment, saying that all of the things that we've endured in society demonstrates that we're not valued the same way that other races are. And when we're talking about issues like this,
that's right.
I just let, you know, probably, like, let the main thing be the main thing. Like, if somebody is grieving or going through something personal and a Black person is involved, somebody that they're connected, like, come on, man. Yeah, we believe all lives matter, but it's not even about that right now. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
So,
yeah, there's no compassion to me sometimes. It's like people want us to have compassion, but then they don't want to have compassion of what we see. And I work with a lot of white coworkers, and I always highlight in a guided way, because I'm not a cussing man or cussing Peter or none of that, right? But I always say that the conversation at my dinner table is different.
Yeah.
You know, and being blessed, both of my parents were in the Air Force, so I've always came up around mixed cultures. Yeah. And our discussions at the dinner table back then was different. And I've had friends that in high school, I'm from San Antonio, graduated, and we get pulled over after a football game and they can cuss the police out. But me, on the other hand, is cap off, both hands on the steering wheel, don't roll the window down until they tell you, music off, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. The whole scene is different because we have the attitude of trying to make it home, trying to make it home. And that's why our discussions with our children has always been different. And I don't think that our white brothers and sisters, in putting themselves in our shoes and at our dinner table sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I remember as a kid, man, and you know, I grew up in predominantly white areas, and the school that I went to was predominantly white. It would be, you know, I was the only Black kid in my class for a long time, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I remember my mom always saying, like, as a Black man, you have to carry yourself differently. But as a child, you don't understand that you're being viewed in a negative light before you even speak in a lot of situations. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. So,
like you said, our conversations are different because we don't have the same experiences. And that takes a degree of empathy, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that has to be had on their part to understand, like, you know, we didn't grow up with these type of restrictions, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, they can cuss the police, they can do all of that and not see any effects. But for us, it's just like, we have to carry ourselves in a completely different manner. And then sometimes you're still treated like you didn't carry yourself in a different manner.
That's,
I
mean, right.
So, I know exactly what you're talking about, bro. That's how we grew up, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I see the officer who murdered Andre Hill, Adam Core, was charged with murder. And we know that's big, even now. What happened to him? Has there been any court since then?
I think he did have a trial. I guess I haven't really been following the case like I was when it first happened.
Yes, sir.
I think mainly just because of what it does to my heart when I think about it. But
yes,
I think we did have a trial. I'm not sure if there's like anything else scheduled or, you know, where it stands right now.
Yes, sir. And I understand that, Caleb. I really do, because we have to guard our hearts, especially when something is close to home. I have a friend that I tell all the time, even when I get mad at people, I don't want to react to them the way they react to me, because I know that's not holding.
Yeah.
You know, so I completely understand, and I appreciate you for sharing that story, my brother. Yes, sir. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Kayla Montgomery. We will come back after these messages, and we will be hearing Kayla Montgomery's testimony.
Hey, family. I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us on the bookkeeper247.com. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews, start your own podcast, write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Kayla Montgomery. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved Kayla to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can you please share your testimony with us and how you came to Christ, fam?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I kind of mentioned it earlier. You know, I grew up going to Christian school for the first part of my life, kindergarten to about third grade. So I heard a lot of scripture, you know, the gospel. I heard about Jesus. I knew the church vernacular. I knew how to hold a conversation with people if they asked me if I was saved. I could blend into the environment real easy. It wasn't until I made that transition from Christian school to public school where I started to see, like, oh, this is a different environment. Like, they're not talking about Jesus here. They don't care nothing about scriptures or living holy or righteous. So even though I wasn't saved, I had conviction and I knew the truth, even though I hadn't submitted to it yet. So in the midst of all of that, at about, I would say 14, 15, I developed a porn addiction. 9 years old was when I was first exposed to that. I remember like it was yesterday, playing hide and seek with my sister. And I opened up one of my dad's drawers and he had some magazines in there. At the time we were playing, hide and seek. So she had came back. I was like, you didn't come look for me. I was like, go back and hide. So I'm in this drawer. You know what I mean? Like magazine. And at the time I didn't even really know what it was that I had seen. You know, it was just something that I knew was wrong instantly, you know what I mean? But for whatever reason, I couldn't put them down, you know what I'm saying? So it didn't become a problem until later on. You know, you go through that season, you're getting older, you know, it's girls, and, you know, it's just a whole lot going on at that stage of life. And so around like 19 years old, I had moved into a condo that my brother had, because he was moving to Kentucky for a little while. So he's like, man, if you want to live in this condo, you know, I'll charge you $300 a month. You know I'm saying, you can come live here. If I could get that $300 a month today, that would be,
I know, right?
But you already know these rent prices. So I was living there, man, working two jobs. I had a Lexus at the time. Like, I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing something. I'm 18, 19 years old. And I remember one night specifically where I just had this Benz. I was just looking up all kinds of videos and just going crazy. I remember waking up that next day acknowledging that I had an issue. You know, it was enough of the truth in me to know that this stuff was wrong and that I didn't have the ability to save myself from it or deal with it on my own. So that's when God kind of made all of the things that I learned as a child come together. And I was like, I understood, you know, the Ten Commandments and, you know, my need for a savior because I couldn't keep these commandments. Like, it was kind of crazy how everything just came together in that moment. So I cried out to God that night, or that morning, I should say. I was like, Lord, I need help with this. You know what I mean? Like, I repented. for the first time genuinely ever. And it wasn't a you know, instantaneous overcoming. Like, I still had struggles after that. Mm-hmm. But I knew that that morning that my heart had changed. Like, I knew something was different, you know. And in the midst of all this, I was still working on raps. And, you know, this is when I think Lil Wayne was, you know, he was dropping mixtapes like every week, it seemed like, mm-hmm. you know. And I was, you know, inspired by cats like that at that point. So I'm writing lyrics like them. And I knew that I couldn't go back to writing the same stuff that I had been writing prior to that transition. You know what I'm saying? And God just began to do a work. As my heart changed, the things that I wrote would change too. Like, I just had this desire to communicate the message that it saved me. And so, yeah, that was 19 when that happened. And, you know, the Lord, man, he's been faithful ever since, man. Like, it hasn't been an easy road, we know, you know. This walk is not for the faint-hearted, but God has been faithful. He's preserved me, man, and he's performed some crazy, we wouldn't have time to talk about all of the stuff that I've seen do, man, but, you know, I'm just grateful, man. I'm 31 now, so, you know, I've been blessed to walk with him. I'm trying to do the math in my head. 12 years. How long is that, man? 19? Blow you in there somewhere. 19, 12 years. There it is.
12 years. Yeah.
12 years, man, walking with the Lord. And so I'm just grateful, bro.
Amen. Yes, sir. I always get the opportunity to talk to that one person out there that's feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Jesus Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them right now?
Don't feel like you have to wait to get your life in order. God will accept you how you are. You can't stay that way. You can come, but he wants you to come how you are right now. You know what I mean? Humble yourself. It says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you can admit that you have an issue, whatever that issue is, like, nothing is too hard for God. He's not surprised by anything that you're dealing with. He knows you in and out. All of the regrets, mistakes, all of that stuff can be thrown at the feet of the cross. And God just wants to make you new, give you a fresh start. He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all stand in that same position. None of us are holy or righteous. It takes him coming into us, his Holy Spirit, and changing us from the inside out. So don't feel like you're too far gone. Don't feel embarrassed about whatever it is that you're involved in right now. You know, God is fully capable of cleaning you up, man, and giving you a new heart, new desires, a completely new life.
Yes, sir. Amen. And you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Caleb Montgomery. Stay locked in as we will be back after these messages.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more, within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Caleb Montgomery. All right, let's move into it. Let's talk about hip hop. When did you want to start using your gift from God for God?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of all the, it was so much that led up to that desire. I remember I was talking to a man, this is when I was working at McDonald's. He was an older guy, probably like 75, 80, somewhere in there. Excuse me. And I'm out there like cleaning tables, sweeping, doing what I do. And I just remember we started talking randomly. I don't remember what we were talking about, but at the end of the conversation, he told me, he said, whatever you're going to do, make sure you do it for God. And at that moment, this is like right after I cried out to, a couple of weeks after I cried out to God and told him I needed to be saved. It's like, make sure whatever you do, you're doing, you do it for God. And I was on the fence at this point, still kind of like trying to figure out what direction to take music wise, you know what I'm saying? So that was one of those, you know, key moments that God used to let me know, like, you have to take this gift and use it for my purposes. I had a friend at the time who gave me a CD by Trip Lee. I think it was 2020. Mm. So that was the first time I ever heard Christian rap ever. Like, I didn't even know it existed. I just knew that God had called me to do that. And I was still trying to put the pieces together and figure out how that worked. So I'm listening through 2020. I'm like, oh, this is a thing. Like, people rap for Jesus. You know what I mean? So Trip Lee, and then I got introduced to, I started looking for stuff on my own after you gave me that CD, and I found The Truth, Big Picture, and that was perfect for me at the time because it gave the full story of the gospel. Like, the intro starts with, you know, the fall, and then you transition into, I can't remember the track list right now, but the whole CD was just like a presentation of the gospel, our need for a savior, Jesus dying on the cross for us and saving us for our sin. So at that moment, or that season of my life, it's like, yo, this is crazy. Like, God is calling me to do. And that's, I think, too, when you're introduced to certain artists, you kind of develop, when God introduces you to certain artists, I think he does that with the purpose of showing you how he wants you to carry certain things out. So we know Truth is real big one, like gospel presentation, heavy scripture, you know what I mean? Some songs are like sermons almost. You know?
That's so right.
I felt like that was the same mantle that I was supposed to carry as far as, like, you know, how I was going to write my lyrics. And it started off, you know, you don't really know. You're still trying to figure out, like, who you are as an artist. It's like everything has like a verse at the end of it. And then God, you know, God just deals with you in that creative process. But that was like my introduction to Christian rap and learning that God wanted me to use this for his purposes. You know, artists like Trip Lee, Truth. There was a few, I think, Cray joints in there too, like some of his early stuff. I'm Praying For You, The Testimony. Mm-hmm. But stuff like that really inspired me to say, all right, man, like this is doable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And I would say Trip Lee and The Truth, I want to say, and I may be wrong, but I think The Truth just sent something to us not too long ago where they're opening a church up in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. He's like a youth pastor or something he's doing in the pastoralship in Atlanta now. And we know Trip Lee a pastor. So in that, and I could really see your music, which we'll get into a little later, why your music is so gospel orientated from just them two artists alone. You know, that leads me into ask you too. So how do you stay so tight but so humble?
Man, bro, that's been like, it's just funny, like me and my wife, like that's been our word for this season, humility. And God has been creating so many situations in our life that are forcing us to be humble. Like I mentioned, like before we got on, like she broke her knee Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, we were both moving at a pace that we recognize now was too fast. You know what I mean? Like, we just had, it's nothing wrong with being ambitious, but I think it's very important to make sure you're submitting all of your goals and your plans and what you envision yourself doing for the future to the Lord. It's very, you know, we say that, but a lot of times in our minds, we have this expected end of how we want things to pan out. And I think when we don't see that end coming as quickly as we want to, we feel like we have to work harder to achieve that end goal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes, more than anything, God is calling us to rest and to really acknowledge Him, like the Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Like,
that's right. Sometimes
we forget to acknowledge Him when we're pursuing things. It's another verse in James that says, you know, not to say what you're going to do tomorrow. You know, say if the Lord wills, that's what you want.
That's right.
But we get so attached to an expected end, and we lose sight of the object of our faith. And the object of our faith can't be an outcome, because we've all been in situations, and if we haven't, we will be, where we've envisioned a specific outcome and it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? So then that leaves you with all these questions, like, well, did God really call me to do this? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be? And a lot of times you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's just that you took your focus off what you should be focusing on. Is this what He wants you doing next? Are you moving too quickly? Prayer life is something that I've been feeling more and more drawn to. Like, and you know, I'm a huge, anybody that knows me, they know I'm not a lazy person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
I don't mind putting work in. If anything, I work too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that in this season, God is reminding me of the importance of prayer, and not thinking that because things are not panning out as quickly as you want to, that you need to work more. Like, step back, reevaluate, get into my presence. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not speaking, if you don't feel like I'm speaking, a lot of times He's just not saying what you want to hear. He's always speaking. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't feel like you're getting the response that you want, a lot of times it's because you need to sit longer and stop trying to control the outcome. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm rambling, but
You good.
The humility, bro, it's been big for both of us in this season. Like, it's acknowledging that you can't do it all on your own. For one, I have a hard time asking for help. I don't know if that's a lot of men are like that, but I know
I am too.
You know what I mean? Like, I just, if I feel like I can find any way to get it done, it's usually what I'm going to do. But God has put us in, I mean, it's so much, bro, but even situations where it's like, you have to ask somebody to help you with this. You know, like, you're not going to be able to overcome this unless you ask for assistance. You know what I'm saying? And even in that, He's been able to show His grace. It's just like, there are times where you get in spots where there's nothing you can do if God doesn't come through and do something or work through somebody. Or, you know what I mean? So it's just been a lot of Him reminding us collectively and individually too. Like, we'll both be, you know, it's funny because, like, me and my wife, like, we won't talk about certain things, but we'll both be having a very similar experience. And then one of us will initiate a conversation and the other one's like, yo, I was just talking to God about this, or He was telling me the same thing. So it's, you know, collectively and individually, He's been dealing with both of us in the area of humility. It's just like, man, don't think that you're better than what you are. Don't think that you don't need assistance. And don't think you can carry everything on your own. You know what I mean? So I don't even know if I answered your question, bro. I just been.
Nah, you did. Yes, sir. That moves. I'm glad you're talking about your wife, because your wife is tight. I actually want to interview her because she holds her own self down on the mic as well, right?
Yeah.
What's it like rapping and working with your wife?
It's dope, man. We've been trying to put a project out, seemed like for forever, but it's nice because, you know, she understands, like, the artist life. Like, if you're leaving late from the studio, or, you know, you got to tighten up a couple things before you come home, like, she's not usually tripping unless she made dinner and she don't want it to get cold. You know what I'm saying? But no, she's very, very understanding, and she keeps me sharp, bro. Like, you know, I think that we complement each other very well, not just in, you know, music, life, of course, but music too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's times where, like, I've had a beat and we haven't really sat together to talk about a concept or whatever the case may be, but it all ends up like flowing together and it just works. So that's one of the greatest evidences I have of God's grace toward me is a wife that, you know what I'm saying, understands what I'm called to. I understand what she's called to. And we support each other genuinely, man. Like, it's no, you know, we just love to see each other do well. You know what I mean? So, love you, babe.
Yeah, she be rapping. I like that. We, me and Hugh Holler, we had a conversation about that because he turned me on to, he said, man, you need to check out Kalem's wife. And he sent me a song over. So, yeah, she be rapping.
Oh, yeah, she's nice, bro. Like, yes, she got some stuff. Yes, sir. And that, you know, she's real modest. But, you know, I know that in these next couple months, she's going to have some stuff that's going to be crazy. So I'm looking forward to her dropping some new material.
Man, that's awesome. On your More Grace album, you have an incredible perspective in the song entitled This Shall Pass. Mm-hmm. You flip the script on infidelity. I did not go through that, but I had thoughts of infidelity going on in my own marriage. But it ended up being me and my insecurities before I accepted Christ. I actually credit that situation to lead me to accept Christ. Why do you think most men can deal that out but can't take it?
Infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Feel it out.
And see, I asked that because the flip that you had on the song was that the spouse, the wife, stepped out, and the husband had to, you know, make the choice to accept her back.
Yeah.
After she's repented and confessed and, you know, everything like that. Yeah. So that's why I kind of formed that question like that. Why do you think, is it our manhood? Is it our pride? What is it?
That's good, bro. And then too, because that was one of the songs my wife was like, man, that was actually about a friend of mine. He had a situation where, you know, his wife was unfaithful. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt led to speak on that because I feel like that he ended up like staying, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like that was the same way, the grace that he had to show his wife to stay in that situation. I feel like that kind of summed up the whole title, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know if it's like a cultural thing where it's like, you know, when women step out, it's like, nah, because we see movies where it's just like, man, if my wife ever, like, nah, I'm not staying. But we see women are a lot more, usually a little bit more forgiving in that area. I think it varies from situation to situation, honestly. You know what I'm saying? There's some men that I know probably will be a little more forgiving than others. Something like that happened.
You'll never know nothing about that.
I know, baby. But I think, I don't know, bro. I never really thought about it, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know, bro. That's a good question. I never really thought about it.
Yeah, man, it's all good. Was that your wife on the end of the track with the poetry? Yeah.
So I wrote something for us to kind of like go back and forth with those two perspectives. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who was unfaithful and then, you know, the wife letting them know, like, I need grace for this situation. You know what I mean? So, because I was kind of what happened with my dude and his wife. You know, they had a conversation. The whole song is their story. So I was just trying to think of a way to, like, sum up the whole album. So I felt like that kind of fit with that title. But yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like, I haven't listened to that stuff for so long. You know how when you start being new music, it's just like, man, I forgot about that joint. Like, I didn't even remember that was a joint that I did. But I'm gonna have to revisit that project, man. See what was on there, because I'm kind of like, man, what other songs did I have on that joint?
Yeah, that project was fire. We're gonna move on because I was gonna ask you about Fight Goes On next on that project, right? Yeah, and you spoke in one about you spoke about not having your dad in your life and And then you spoke about your nephew transitioning from this life to the next. And I was going to ask, how was your sister, your mom, and you're doing from that incident?
Yeah. It was difficult, man. You know, he wasn't, he was still in the womb, you know what I mean? So it wasn't, wasn't born yet, but I remember I just had my daughter. I think she might've been 7 or 8 months. Well, hold on, I jumped in 2015. So no, she was like 2 at that point. So my daughter was around 2 at that point. And I remember, I think it was my mom that had called me. It was like, man, you're at the hospital. So I like, you know, rushed there to, you know, see what was going on. By the time I got there, they said that he was, you know, he was gone. But it was difficult for my sister at that time. You know what I mean? My mom, you know, it's hard. I mean, that's, you know, that's a hard thing to
walk yes, through.
But she has a, you know, my niece, she's going on, she's 7 now. So, I mean, I feel like God is able to take situations like that. You know, they say beauty from ashes, you know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
My niece, she's hilarious, like got a crazy personality, 7 years old. Not that you can, you know, replace any of your children. Like it's not that, but I feel like God in his grace is able to, you know, kind of take away some of the pain from those situations when, you know, we see that, you know, my niece, she's just awesome, man. So I think that that's his way of blessing my sister in spite of, you know, the pain that she had to deal with in that situation. So,
but yeah, sir.
I remember working on that song, man. Just, I'm realizing now talking to you, I have a lot of like emotionally charged joints, man, which is crazy to think about. But
that's good, because when I went to research you, I said, okay, he don't have nothing crazy. So it made me take a more in-depth listen to your music. And I really enjoyed myself, you know, listening. I felt like I was getting to know you and your situation. So I just appreciate you sharing that in your art, in your own creative way, and using the gift that God gave you.
I appreciate you saying that, bro. I appreciate you listening too.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Once again, this is the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with your host, Daryl Kemp. We are sitting down with an exclusive interview with Christian hip-hop artist Kayla Montgomery. Stay tuned, and we'll be back after these messages to talk to Kayla about his latest full project, Free Verse Fridays 2.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
Kayla Kemp back again. Check out Kayla Montgomery's Breathe off his latest project, Free Verse Friday, Part 2. Only on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Peace.
Yeah. Came to give life. I just want to see you. Want to see you. Yeah, perfecting my faith, the finisher and the author. This is medication, an antidote for my culture. See the devastation and daily I pray it alters. Battle for your soul and the devil been making offers. All of this mainstream music driving me bonkers. This pre-scenes worship with hands lifted at crosses. I'm grieved whenever I see it, pray that we all turn. Cause honest to God, I'm just driven to see you prosper. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know my God is defending me like a law firm. I'm fully composed, I'm cool, calm, and collected. Every attack from my adversaries deflected. I disobeyed him, deliberately disrespected. I still been given forgiveness without a question. So now I spread the message in hopes that you believe. I'm giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to the streets. I'm present like attendance, God left me here to preach. So you could get a glimpse of heaven, I'm a reverend over beats. This music is a weapon, the deception that I see. Motivates to bring correction, giving lessons, have a seat. Yeah, classes in session, I'm in awe of the perfection of the true and living God. The only reason I'm alive, he was crucified to demonstrate his compassion. Reservations in heaven for those attracted to sin but been redeemed. Eliminate these distractions. Meditate on his word, never conform. They say that I should be adapting. I'm learning now that anybody can preach. My prayer is what I speak, I actually put in practice. Our biggest problem is we think God was made for us. Reverse that, cause most of us got it backwards. Reverse that, cause most of us got it backwards. Listen, yo, I need for y'all to pray for me. I'm trying to stay focused and draw attention to the king until they take notice. They drunk off their own pride, I'm trying to stay sober. I need you to take over. These days, my reflection, my only threat. I feel no urge to compete. It's me, myself, and I. My competition is me. I never look down, so I'm never seeing defeat. Devil been selling lies, keep track of all your receipts. I seek you every morning, that method I must repeat. Until the man that used to be I is no longer seen. Unless you there on the other side, then I come in peace. Huh. The G stand for genuine, I gotta keep a G. My faith is in the God who decides my fate. I write verses like I know what's other lives at stake. A lost sheep, but the shepherd came and got me. And to this day, giving me guidance to find my way. Yeah, humble ourselves, pray to him. We need worship. I'm scrolling through two iPhones full of free verses. Almost time I see him hungry, these streets thirsty. Dehydrated and part souls that keep hurting. I'm digging through it daily, trying to know the text. The devil nervous, I ain't even really focused yet. He tried to play me, but he never really posed a threat. Still, I keep my guard up because I know this flesh. He came to give us life, we've been exposed to death. If I give my heart to you, you control the rest. Not knowing who he is will leave you so depressed. Couple minutes in that word will leave you so refreshed. Haven't read it, that's the book you need to open next. Salvation, not a dance routine, but boy, I know the steps. Repent and believe, and don't ever expect my God to fail. Boy, don't hold your breath, I need for you to. I pray that the youth of my generation see evidence of your power and demonstration. Exalt you high in the midst of our conversations. Light a flame in the hearts of the congregations. Continue spreading the news through the population. Pray we keep you first, give you your proper placement. I know I need to wait on you, no longer anxious. Cause whenever I don't, it's dangerous. That's real talk. Nah, attention and fame is not the objective. I'm led by a spirit I keep in step with. A city on a hill, you see me shine. Just know the glory's not really mine. It's like a step kid. Every morning I'm just trying to play detective. I'm seeking the Father to gain perspective. He gives me power to stand like a concession. You hold the keys, it's power in your confession. I'm trying to gain the world, he's the only thing you need. I came to give you life, I just want to see you breathe.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with independent Christian hip-hop artist Caleb Montgomery. In this segue, I'd like to talk about your latest full project, Free Verse Fridays 2. Some of my favorite tracks were Show Me What You Got, When to Say When, Man Bumping. I'm not going to read the whole track list. The whole project was fire. That's why I'm interviewing you. Feeling shameful admitting this because it was one of my favorite songs as a heathen. But that Who Shot You? That man, that flip right there, bro. That one right there. What is your creative process like when you're putting a project together like that?
Yeah. So it varies, you know. I think with this one specifically, I really just felt a conviction to just start putting stuff out. Like I have several totes filled with notebooks of like all of the lyrics and stuff that I've written out over the years. And I remember I was at our old house before we moved. We had a huge basement where. I had a little corner that my wife approved me to have, you know what I'm saying, with all of my totes and just, you know, man stuff. You know, I'm a pack rat, you know what I'm saying? So I keep stuff I got stuff from kindergarten still just there. Sometimes I flip through it just for inspiration or to like go back and, you know, dig up certain things from my past or whatever. But in this tote specifically, I had like a bunch of notebooks. I remember God bringing the parable to my mind of the master and the servants, And the master who left and entrusted a certain amount of talents to each of his servants. And we know that the last servant, he said that because he didn't steward well the talents that he was given, God was going to take them and give them to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So I remember sitting there like, man, I got all of this stuff that I haven't done anything with. And yet I'm asking God to give me more lyrics. And it's like, bro, you haven't even done nothing with the stuff that I already gave you. So a lot of that stuff is from years ago, like stuff that I just never got the urge to put out, I guess, until that moment. So I'm like, all right, let me just find some beats, any beat that'll work. Like, let me just find any beat, and I'm going to find the lyrics that match with these beats and try to piece them up and edit them and whatever else. So that's kind of how that project was birthed, just from lyrics I had sitting that needed, you know, some of them need to be fine-tuned and finished up. And then there was a few that were already pretty much done. But yeah, bro, so for that one, it was just God saying, all right, man, it's time to get back to work. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, when on Show Me What You Got, When to Say When, you're attacking classic Jay-Z joints. We just talked about how you attacked that Biggie who shot you. What's your mindset like when going at them classics like that? Is it like, hey, I'm Caleb, God anointed me, I'm gonna get at this, bump who them artists were? What is your mindset when you attack classics like that?
Yeah. I think, you know, I just always had a, you know, one, you know, ever since I started, I always had a respect for just this lyricism and creativity. I just thrive in that vein. So a lot of those beats I knew, and it's crazy because like most of those artists I never even really listened to. Like I would hear, you know, you hear stuff on the radio, somebody may pass you and you're like, oh, what is that? You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you get to Google in to figure out where the beat came from or whatever else. So a lot of those songs, like, they were just beats. I'm like, oh, this is class. I like the feel of this. It feels like it'll age well. Like, it's something that I feel like somebody could throw on years from now. It'll still resonate. Not just the subject matter, but the, you know, the instrumentation of, you know. And so, usually, man, it's just like, I'm giving God glory on this one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, most of the time I know the beats that I've chosen, I've heard what they talked about. So it's like, let's present an alternative message over something that was used to, in most cases, create chaos or, you know, destructive messages. It's like, let's come from a different perspective. You know what I mean? But yeah, usually I'm just like, man, we just going in for the Lord, bro.
Yes, sir. And you went in. You went in. On New Territory, who was that on the track? Who was that speaking?
So that was my mom. She called me, and I just felt led to. I have another phone that I use to, like, you know, record stuff or whatever. So I was like, she had been going in for a while, and I was just like, you know, it's for like God speaking through her right now. So I was like, let me just hit record on it. It was funny when she heard it. She's like, what's that he talking about your song? So I had to get her in that moment because I felt like it would be a great contribution to something. I didn't know what was going on there, but I was just like, this is powerful. I do the same thing. Like, my grandparents, they're a lot older. My grandfather's 95. So if I go over there and we're having a conversation and he's like, you know, praying or just saying something that I know will be inspiring later on. Because I have a, you know, I'm very big on like legacy and, you know, leaving something for the generations that are coming. So it's like, I can listen to that and be inspired. And then my kids will hear that later on. Oh, man, that was Dallas, your grandfather saying that. Yeah. So it's just a way for them to be introduced to people who made contributions to you in your life. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I just thought it was a good moment to catch her talking.
Yes, sir. I knew it because it sounded like me talking to my mom, right? Yeah. Bro, it was so deep what she was talking about, though. Free music and not charging. How hard is that, and does that put a strain on the income in your household?
What's crazy is when I first started doing music, I always told God, like, I want to make these things available for free. You know, that was just something that I always felt like was on my heart to do, that he put on my heart to do. And I, for a couple of reasons, I think that we know when money is involved with things, it's complicated. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It can compromise the integrity of your message, the sincerity of your message. When you're living solely off of a music income, we see it all the time. Like, you know, certain messages change when it's, you know, lots of money involved. You know, the sincerity seems to diminish when it's, you know, lots of money involved. So I'm like, I told God early on, like, I don't ever want to feel like I have to compromise what I want to talk about or what you're leading me to talk about and miss out on a check. So I always looked at guys like Paul, say he was bivocational. He had two jobs, he made tents, but he also preached the gospel. And so he had a way of making money, and he wasn't solely dependent upon, if I don't preach a good message, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to pay me, or, you know, I have to worry about my bills later on, you know what I'm saying? So,
that's right.
And I feel like God is kind of firming that conviction up a little bit more, where it's just like, especially now we in some crazy times, man, if people need something solid, you know, something that doesn't rest too hard in that gray area. We know that there's some things in scripture that aren't fully clear, and there's room for maybe debate or questioning, but I've always just felt called to that straightforward, like, we're not gonna play with the truth. We'll make sure that if I'm recording or you hear me rapping about something, you know what I'm talking about. It's no room for anybody with, like, you know, did he mean this by what he was saying? Was he talking from another perspective? It's like, none of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there may be a time and a place for that at some point, but overall, like, I've always just wanted to make sure that the integrity of the gospel message is not compromised because I'm trying to pay my rent. So I always was just like, I want this stuff to be free. And then too, I should mention at that time, like, you know, we lived in an apartment where the job that I worked at the time, like, it didn't require us to pay any rent. So it was like, you know, everything was no utilities, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I always felt like, man, if people want to pay for this, they will. Like, God will move
on to the
cards. If they feel led to give, then they will. But I'm not going to be that guy that's like, you know, taking up an offering every time I go rap somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is about souls being saved and lives being transformed. That's just what, you know, that's my personal. Everybody has their own calling. I respect people who feel like they have to be paid for whatever they do. Like, that's cool. The Bible says, like, you can't deprive the ox, you know what I'm saying, of the grain. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I respect that. But, you know, for me, it's just like, yeah, I want to make sure that if people are willing to listen, I'm not hindering them because of a specific price. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, well, I'm going to be that guy. One, I like that you have your stuff on Bandcamp more than you have it everywhere else. And that allows people to gift you for your projects. So I'm gonna be that guy by telling people, support good artists, good music, good godly music. You're that brother. I hear your humble heart. So I'm gonna be that guy on this podcast to say, go support my brother Caleb and his wife and everything he do, because it's super tight. Man, before we get out of here though, one of our friends, mutual friends, Hugh Holler,
sure,
he wanted me to ask you, how did you drop a freestyle verse every Friday for so long and never miss?
Man, God's just faithful, bro. Like I said, when I looked at those totes and I seen all the stuff that was sitting in there, you know, God was just convicting me. Like, bro, it's time to get busy. You know, you've been sitting on this stuff for too long. I just went all out. Like, any beat that I found that was dope, I'm like, yeah, let's write something to this. It'd be times where I would just be in the car and I would hear a song, like, on the radio or whatever. It felt like God was just leading me to the beats that he wanted me to use. You know what I'm saying? So my wife, she helped me shoot everything. Most of them I got edited within, like, the same day. I'm really big on, like, stockpiling, just so you have stuff to pull from, you know. And I think they call it, like, repurposing content. Like, if you have an old song, like, re-releasing it, like, with a new cover or something. And then I'll mix new stuff in with old stuff that I've had sitting for a long time. So it kind of looks like, you know what I'm saying, like, I've been working every weekend, but a lot of times I'll just, you know, take a few weeks or months off and still be working on stuff, not releasing, and then just have like a nice little folder to pull stuff from when it's time to get busy.
Man, that's awesome, man. Man, as we wrap this up, if I'm a fan, why would I follow Caleb Montgomery?
It's the verse. Is it follow me as I follow Christ? Not to sound cliche, but you know, I'm really trying to walk this thing out, bro, like the way that God wants us to. And I feel like we're just in a time, man, where God is separating the wheat from the tares. You know what I mean? Like, we're seeing a lot of things come out in different churches, people that we thought were aligned with the truth. And I feel like these are just warning shots. You know what I mean? Like, God is not playing with us, you know? And I think sometimes we believe that we have more time than what we actually do. You know what I'm saying? Like, but in these last couple months, bro, and you know, just since 2020, like, life has not been the same, like, for any of us. But I feel like God always has warnings set in place, you know what I mean, before certain things come to pass. So I'm being intentional about making sure that my life is aligned with the truth that's in the Word. And I feel like anybody that listens to my music will hear that and hopefully, prayerfully, be inspired to pursue Christ more. It's not about, you know, the content that I'm, you know, I don't, at one point that probably would have been the focus, but, you know, with everything that's transpired, you know, with me and my wife these last couple months, we're seeing the severity of all the stuff that's happening and how we have to continue to make the main thing the main thing. So that's my goal, man. And my prayer is that anybody that listens or hears my music is inspired to pursue Christ more. And he says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. You know what I'm saying? So,
yes, sir.
You know, that's my goal at the end of the day, man, is to see people's lives change and inspired to be more Christ-like.
Amen. So tell the people what you have coming up next. Anything soon?
Man, I got a lot of stuff sitting, bro. It's just, you know, life, man. It'll prevent you from following through with your plans. Like, you know, the words say, man, God knows the plans that he has for us. So I'm not really sure, bro. You know, I got a lot of stuff sitting. When it's time to get back to it, man, I'm excited for that time. I don't know when it's coming, but I got some stuff sitting, though, that I'm excited to release when it's time for me to.
Yes, sir. And that's awesome, man. Last but not least, man, let the people know where they can follow you at, cop your music, and everything like that on your socials.
Yes, sir. So Instagram, Caleb_Montgomery. YouTube, you can just type in Caleb Montgomery. I got a lot of different videos on there. Facebook, same thing, Caleb Montgomery. And two, man, check out my bro, St. Jones. We just chopped it up a couple days ago, man. He's got some crazy stuff he's dropping. My wife, she has a project from his blood sacrifice. Well, what is it, man? I always butcher the name, man. From his blood sacrifice to his living sacrifice. That's on Bandcamp too. Juanita Montgomery. She's got some crazy stuff that's coming too. So yeah, man.
Yep, Miss Montgomery, if you can hear me, we're getting you on the podcast. Get ready. So you just run it back for what you say, Caleb?
I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll have everything in the show notes, y'all, where y'all can follow him at. You know what you can do for us. Just go to your favorite web browser and put in hashtag TBK247 and we'll pop up everywhere. Caleb, thank you. Man, brother, may the Lord continue to bless your ministry, your household, your family, give you the strength, your inner peace, your search for God, your humbleness, your repentance. I heard it all in this interview, and I just want to thank you personally for taking the time to come chop it up with me, my brother.
Man, pleasure is all mine, bro. I appreciate you reaching out, and, you know, just thank you for having me. I pray the same for you and the family, too, bro. You know what I'm saying? That God will continue to expand your reach. and you know, that he would bring brothers and sisters on your show that really love him and want to see his kingdom advance.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And we out, family. Catch us next time.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give will be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.